I was in a coma for 6 weeks while the doctors told my wife I was going to die. When I woke up, she told me the most fantastic story. My team kept running the business without me. Freelancers reached out to my team and said, "We will do whatever it takes as long as Craig's in the hospital." I consider that the greatest accomplishment in my career. My name is Craig Andrews, and this is the Leaders and Legacies podcast, where we talk to leaders creating an impact beyond themselves. At the end of today's interview, I'll tell you how you can be the next leader featured on this show. Today, I want to welcome Alex Langan. He is the founder of the Langan Financial Group. He's also the upcoming author of 401k Exposed, the Fiduciary Formula, How Elite Employers Protect Their People and Outperform the Market. Alex is recognized as an authority in group retirement plan design and ERISA compliance. We'll explain that ERISA here in a bit. But he has over 20 years of experience at the intersection of law and financial planning. He is the chief investment officer of Langan Financial Group, a multi-generational advisory firm serving Pennsylvania and beyond. Alex, welcome.
Thanks for having me, Craig. I appreciate being here.
Yeah, well, you know, we ended up chatting. We should probably hit record like 40 minutes ago, because we've been having the most amazing conversation. It would have been a different podcast, but it was still an interesting conversation. And so one of the questions I have, and I don't know if I've figured this out because we haven't talked about it, but are you an attorney or are you a financial advisor?
That depends on the day. Depends on the day. I am a practicing attorney. I clerked for the Pennsylvania Supreme Court for a while, then went to the governor's office of the budget. From there, I went to join a family business as a financial advisor. So currently, both.
Well, I've seen that before where attorneys go into that, but it's usually they're like tax attorneys.
Yes, which I'd love to get my master's in law and taxation, but we have three small kids. My wife told me absolutely not. So maybe one day. Yeah. Maybe one day I'll be an expert in tax as well, but ERISA is what I focused on.
All right. And what is ERISA?
Employee Retirement Income Security Act. I just say it's 401k law to make it simple.
Yeah. But also, I mean, you know, we talked about this, have a lot of people putting together health plans and they're subject to ERISA as well.
They are. Yeah. So thankfully, the healthcare industry is changing and they're starting to apply the fiduciary model to healthcare providers, which they have applied to businesses that are sponsoring 401k plans for decades. So it's nice to see it's coming over and they're getting serious about applying it to healthcare.
Well, I think one of the things that surprised me, I mean, I have a small business, I'm below 50 employees. And so there's a whole bunch of laws I don't have to worry about.
Yes.
And one of the things that surprised me was there's no number where you don't have fiduciary responsibility for both the health plan and the 401k.
Absolutely true. Yep.
And that's scary. I mean, once you start getting in the compliance area, that just scares me because it's so easy to get it wrong.
It is. And that's why I wrote the book and I developed, trademarked the fiduciary formula to try to help people learn. It's just like the healthcare, you're getting ripped off. You talk to three different people, they're charging you three different things and they all have different codes. So you don't know exactly what they're doing. It's very similar from that to your 401k plan. It's called revenue sharing, where they don't disclose what they're actually charging you and your investments continue to grow, hopefully. So they take a percent of it so that the dollar amount keeps growing over time and nobody has any idea.
Hmm. Well, and that would seem, I mean, if I were a marginally unethical advisor, I mean, that would seem everybody has these 401k plans. It's a big chunk of money. I can just chip off a little chunk of that big chunk.
Yeah, I've seen people take large chunks off of that. I saw one plan that they were charging 4.5% in fees.
Wow.
Yeah, it was the most egregious oversized fee because they should have been, you know, 1% maybe. but they were charging 4.5%, and it's a $1.2 million plan. So they're making 50 some thousand a year off of this. It's egregious. So,
50,000 off how much work per year?
They had one meeting a year for less than an hour, and it
That's
was here.
a pretty nice hourly rate. That's
It's
got to
not
make the
bad.
attorneys jealous.
They should be. And now you see why I got in the business. No, just kidding. Yeah, it's egregious, and it's not uncommon is the problem with this. I mean, you're an expert in the healthcare industry. It's very similar. I always compare financial advisors to realtors. There's a lot of them. A couple of them are really, really good and do what's right. The rest are just out to make a quick buck.
Yeah. Well, I just sold a house and I just bought a house.
So how was the commission?
I mean, a different subject, but I ended up having to do the marketing for the house I was selling.
Oh, interesting.
I ended up, we went from 100% negative feedback on showings to 100% positive feedback on showings just by changing the listing description.
Oh, that's fun.
I rewrote the listing description. Yeah, I'm a marketer. And so
Yeah, well, yeah.
I rewrote the listing description. And that's how powerful marketing is you just change words. Well, my realtor was having ChatGPT write the listing descriptions. I'm like, really? You're getting that big, yeah, and won the
Yeah.
cheap house. You're getting that big commission to have ChatGPT write the listing description?
Yeah, like that's easy to do yourself.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, ChatGPT shouldn't be the expert. You should be the expert. That's why they're getting paid. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. ChatGPT has not gotten into a 401k business yet, but maybe they will. I would just be careful because they can create case laws and precedents that just doesn't exist. So just be careful if you're
Yeah.
using it.
Well, so explain what that means. I mean, I know what you're talking about, but
Gotcha.
the
Yes. Well, so ERISA is code-based law. So by regulation, you have to follow it. It's really complicated. The DOL and IRS are involved in it, Department of Labor. But what has happened over the years since its creation in the mid-70s is that people have been sued. And so it's created case law or precedents establishing clarifying the law. So what makes sense, what doesn't make sense in it. So over time, you get better clarity about what you should be doing as a plan sponsor, as a plan fiduciary. So what ChatGPT done has hallucinated and created random cases that literally don't exist. It just, it fills in gaps. It makes stuff up that, and when it's legal, you really should be accurate. There's been a couple attorneys that have been disbarred by having ChatGPT write stuff and hallucinate case law. So you just want to be careful.
And if I understand case law, so if I'm going before a judge, I can say, hey, this was resolved this way by this judge. Here's how it applies in my case. Then the judge doesn't even use his own judge.
Now,
He leans on the case law.
based off of the legal facts, assuming usually that there's a couple of different fact differences and there's gray area that needs clarified, and that's where the judge would come in. But yes, if it's a clear-cut case, it's super easy. Being at the Supreme Court, it was never that way. We always That's why it made it to that level. We were the third level, starting out trial and going from there. So yeah, you're right that that is where they makes it easy for, like, hey, this exactly happened. I'm right, they're wrong. Unfortunately, the US Supreme Court just came out with new precedents back in April 2025. It was this year. Connecticut-based case that makes it exceptionally easy for a plaintiff to bring a case and shift the burden onto the defense or the plan sponsor. And then they have to justify that they did everything right. So it's making it a lot easier to be sued for
Wow.
401k plans. So,
Yeah, so that's interesting. So is that creating some opportunity? I mean, it would seem anytime you have churn, it seems like it creates opportunities.
yes, it does, but the problem is I've switched from being an attorney because they're reactive. I have to help protect my client at the court. This way, I did get to be proactive and I can fix their plan, document everything. So that way, if a lawsuit came, it is unlikely a lawsuit comes, although they're increasing, I think, by 25% over the past year. But if a lawsuit comes, I can be proactive in stopping it. You don't want to be in court being like, well, we haven't looked at this, but we were assured that the fees were reasonable, the investments were good. So I'd much rather be proactive.
Is it causing a surge in like class action lawsuits, contingency?
It is. Yeah, that's where it's these are all class action lawsuits. So once you get your class action certified, usually it's, oh crap, we got to settle. So you what good plaintiff attorneys are doing, and please don't take this as advice, plaintiff attorneys, don't do this, but what really good ones are doing, they are actively finding terminated employees that, are unhappy with their previous employers, and they're getting their documents and doing the due diligence to see whether there is a legit case or not. So they're being proactive now because it is so easy to shift the burden of proof onto the employer. And a vast majority of employers do not look at this. It's set, they forget about it, and it is what it is.
Funny story. I'm not going to mention the name of the law firm, but they were like the one of the original ambulance chasers in the DC Baltimore area,
Okay, yeah.
and they were like early in running the ads, TV ads. My sister-in-law was a claims adjuster, with Allstate, and
Okay.
she was dealing with the attorneys. And we're sitting around one day, and she's talking about one of these guys, and I'm like, Gene, you're talking about him like you like him. And she's like, oh no, he's a scumbag. But he's really good at what he does, and he makes my job easy.
Okay.
Because
Yeah.
he knew exactly what he could ask for, he knew exactly what he
Yes.
could get, and
Yes.
he made it easy for
It
her
is
to
nice.
settle.
Yeah, because they know they have to go through the motions. That's so true. They have to go through the motions, the limits of your policy in that case. They do have insurance for this stuff, but usually it's okay, what's the limits of policy? Let's see how egregious, let's see how I can twist this and make it work. And then you're like, okay, we all both know where this is going. Let's just hurry up and settle it. So it's funny, but that is so true. Yeah. There are good ones out there that know how to do it.
Well, and for her, I mean, she was being measured on how many cases she settled.
Gotcha.
And so this guy would come in and he'd help her meet her numbers.
Gotcha. Yeah, the last thing you want to do is spend a lot of money in the courtroom unless you're trying to set your own precedents. But usually what happens in that, if you're afraid you're going to lose, you might go to one level, maybe you appeal to the next level, and you don't keep going because you really don't want it to be set in that state. So it depends on how far you want to push it. But yeah, it's very strategic.
So making the leap from injury law to 401k,
It's
fiduciary
very
law.
similar. Yeah.
I mean, so there are guys out there that know the law so well,
Yep.
they're going to be able to come in,
It's
they're just going to
easy.
start going after companies.
Yeah, well, they are. I know some firms out there that have done it. I've actually been asked to be an expert witness. I haven't yet. I don't want to make that shift. I would never do it for a plaintiff, unless there are some pretty bad advisors out there that I don't think should be in the business. So they just haven't. They're not a fiduciary. They know that. They pretend to be. I actually just had a conversation with somebody yesterday. I was like, oh, I have a fiduciary. I looked at their stuff. They legally cannot be a fiduciary with what they're selling, and it is they're selling these products. It's frustrating, but it's rampant in the industry, just like healthcare, just like healthcare.
Well, kind of a funny story from my past. So I do marketing, and I had a client that was a wealth management firm, and they had an in-house compliance officer.
Okay. Yep.
And we were trying to describe that they were really wanting to focus the marketing message on being a fiduciary. And so we
Yeah.
were working on the messaging, and the compliance officer kept saying, "You can't say that. You can't
Yep.
say that."
Yep.
And she smugly threw an 80-page document at me saying, "You need to read this." What she didn't expect is I read it.
You read it. Nice. Yeah, nice.
Next meeting, I go back and I say, "Hey, if I quote the SEC chairman, is that compliant?" She's like, "Well, yeah." Well, the
Yeah.
SEC chairman in that document basically said the definition of fiduciary was so loose, it lost its meaning. That was very much the Wild West.
Wow. Wow.
I was like, this is every time, by the way, every time I've come up against a compliance officer, the quality of my marketing improved because I have this
I
super
could
high
see that.
authority that's saying fiduciary is a meaningless term. Here's how we do things.
That's great. Yeah. That's
But
great.
that's part of the problem is you can meet the legal definition for a fiduciary, but according to the SEC chairman, it's defined so broadly you could drive a bus through it.
It does, but then it even gets more murkier because you can actually wear dual hats where you are fiduciary in certain situations. So maybe it's covered, probably is covered, but then in other situations, you can do transaction based where it's just purely based off of suitability at the time of sale, which is like, I don't know what that means. So people go back and forth constantly. That's why I always like to say it has to be in the contract. It's known as a 321 or 338 as an advisor. 321 co-fiduciary, they share in a liability. 338, they're discretionary investment manager. So they take on the liability, and then you just have to check in periodically to make sure they're doing what's right. I always look to make sure that's in the document for people because otherwise they say they're fiduciaries, but they're not.
Yeah.
So they have to write it. They have to put it in writing. But
Yeah.
yeah, it's unfortunate.
Well, and my big takeaway from that was even if you meet the legal definition for fiduciary, there's a lot of wiggle room to do squirrely things.
There is. Yeah. And you can also, a lot of people can be fiduciaries. They can still do some revenue sharing. And that's where it gets tricky. 12b-1 fees, sub TPA fees, what they're called. But there's also multiple parties. So one may be a fiduciary while another's not. And then what is the frame of that fiduciary? Are they taking on the full responsibilities to your point? Or are they just, I'm a fiduciary in this little regard and I don't do anything else? So, and that's
Yeah.
constant what we see. It's unfortunate.
Well, so let's kind of tie that back to some employers. They're trying to put together these plans. One, obviously they don't want to get sued, but I think most employers really want to take care of their employees. They want it to be a benefit. They're not
No,
putting
that
together this
is,
plan because
yes.
they want it to
That's,
be a benefit.
yeah, that's what a true leader is. They care about their team. They care about their employees. This is there for their benefit. And that's the big difference between healthcare providers and sponsoring a 401k plan. Healthcare providers are there to rip you off. You know that. You know it's a game. The employer sets up this plan. Just like they set up a healthcare plan, they set this plan up to take care of their employees. But then you got all these different people coming in and trying to rip you off. And they do it so tactfully that you don't even realize what's going on. But, and I, that's what I constantly mention in my book. Like these employers care about their people. If they set this up wrong, not knowing just based off of ignorance, they're ripping them off. They will not be able to retire. And I have seen people not be able to retire. It's heartbreaking. I just had somebody reach out to us. He had $13,000 in his 401k plan and he's 63 years old. He wants to retire. It's like, well, can you live off of Social Security? Like, no. And he's working two jobs. He had some issues. He did have to empty out a bunch of it, his 401k previously, because he had to send his daughter to rehab, but which is sad. But now he's trying to make it up. And a 401k plan in and of itself did not help him compound like he should.
Well, and that's the thing. Those fees just, you said that you saw a 4% fee. I mean,
Four and a
that's
half.
four and a half.
And the lady, the director said to me, I don't understand it. I see the reports. I see the returns look really well, but every year our accounts don't increase. I don't understand why. And so then I gathered all the documents and I looked through it and there was a hidden wrap fee that they were pulling the money out, that much money out of it. And she had no idea.
So let's say somebody was listening to this and they wanted to just kind of do a first level check, kind of like checking the oil in the car, checking the air on the tires. Where should they check? What are the things they should look for?
I spelled out in the book. I call it fee forensics. It's almost like being a detective and going in. So you have to grab, it's difficult because this usually goes on for half a decade, and they don't even have the document. So what they need to ask for is, it's called an ERISA 408B2 disclosure form. That's the fee disclosure form at the plan sponsor level. There's also the 404A5 fee disclosure form that is a plan participant disclosure form, that's usually worthless. It just lists the investments and what they cost. It doesn't say anything about the hidden fees inside. So you want your 408B2. You want the contract between you and the providers to make sure that there isn't any in there. We'll talk about some wrap fees and stuff. So they may never disclose it. And then you want your investment fund lineup with every single dollar on each investment. You grab those three, you will be able to get through and try to figure it out. Hopefully, you have to look at the fee share class. There's a lot of different ones out there. Some are R1 to R6. R6 has no revenue sharing. R1 has the highest revenue sharing. There's also institutional pricing. You just have to look at it and see if they do have it listed, 12b-1 fees, sub TPA fees. I go into it in the book quite a bit. Look at that, look at a 408B2 and look at your contract. Plus, you may be paying out of pocket. There's a notorious third-party administrator near me that doesn't offset revenue sharing, but they're not a fiduciary, so they don't legally have to. So they just pocket all the money behind the scenes while they still charge the employer directly for what their services actually cost. So hopefully that kind of helps. It's tricky, but it's a good start to get those three documents.
And I'll be honest, what you just said hurts my head. And
Sorry.
so I think, no. But what that tells me is, I mean, if somebody's sitting there, if somebody's listening and their heads hurt, they can't follow through that. Can they reach out to you?
Absolutely. Yeah, we do these. We actually do, we're do 10, 15 a month, depending, for free. Like, we're just go and get them done for people because we want them to be empowered. We're even run benchmark reports to say it's a soft benchmark, but it'll grab your plan, breaks out all the fees for everyone, and then it puts you into low, average, and high categories so you can see if your plan's reasonable or not. It's that simple. That actually will check the box as one of your fiduciary obligations to make sure your fees are reasonable.
Okay, well, I think you just brought up something that if a lawsuit comes up, you can show that you did due diligence to make sure you're meeting your fiduciary responsibility.
That's part of it. And then the next would be the investments to make sure that they're appropriate for your employees. But yeah, that's the first one is, are your fees reasonable? The vast majority of people are like, yeah, because my provider tells me they are. That's like asking the fox if the hens are protected. Like, oh yeah, no, they're fine. Yeah, don't worry about it. Don't check on them. Like, it's that bad.
Well, how could people reach you?
You can find me, Alex, at Langan, Langan financial.com, or go to our website, Langan, Langan financial group.com, are the easiest way.
Excellent. Well, Alex, this has been great discussion. Illuminating. A little bit scary, but illuminating. When's your book coming out?
It's spring, early spring. Yeah, it's wrapping up. It's in the editor's hands, but they just got it and it's Christmas, so it'll be spring.
Okay.
So I'm excited about it.
Well, I hope people reach out to you and I hope they get your book. And the title of the book again is.
401k Exposed is the main title. It's a long title. 401k Exposed, the Fiduciary Formula, How Elite Employers Protect Their People and Outperform the Market.
Excellent. Well, Alex, thanks for coming on Leaders and Legacies.
Thank you, Craig. Yeah, I really appreciate it. It was fun.
This is Craig Andrews. I want to thank you for listening to the Leaders and Legacies podcast. We're looking for leaders to share how they're making impact beyond themselves. If that's you, please go to alliesforme.com/guest and sign up there. If you got something out of this interview, we would love you to share this episode on social media. Just do a quick screenshot with your phone and text it to a friend or post it on the socials. If you know someone who would be a great guest, tag them on social media and let them know about the show, including the hashtag Leaders and Legacies. I love seeing your posts and suggestions. We are regularly putting out new episodes and content. To make sure you don't miss anything, please go ahead and subscribe. Your thumbs up, ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show, and it means a lot to me. It means a lot to my team. If you want to know more, please go to alliesforme.com or follow me on LinkedIn. Thanks for listening. See you next time.